Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Grid Watchers podcast, episode number 9, where we had the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix today. Well, a bit of a bore fest, really. But before we get into that, this week I'm joined once again by Alex, Rickson, and Ken. How are we all good? How are we all doing?
I was doing okay. And then Tuesday hit, and I felt a bit under the weather. I was like, oh, no, that's fine. It's a common cold, whatever. And I got a phone call from my girlfriend that she just tested positive for COVID.
You sound ill.
I am, because you sound disgusting. I've tested positive for COVID.
Oh, no.
So since Tuesday, it's been horrific. This is the first day I felt, genuinely, if we'd have done this yesterday, I would not have been able to do this podcast. I felt just about well enough. And I'm sure you can hear, just about well enough to do this podcast. But a horrific week. I would not recommend getting COVID. I think that's generally the government advice anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of just telling us to stay in, listen to the rules, not go and see partners. You know, Alex, like everybody else.
Saying, you broke rules, you know, by going out and seeing your girlfriend.
Ah, no, I can go outside and see
and my girlfriend. She's even worth breaking the rules for, I heard, so...
That nasty.
Wow.
So I'm only joking, Alex. I love you, really.
Stick by the rules. This is a stick by the rules. COVID isn't fun.
There we go. Some consumer advice from the Grid Watchers podcast.
Consumer advice, because this podcast gives you information. I'm giving it.
There we go.
That's the new slogan for the podcast. That follow the rules. Stay in and listen to the podcast. Don't do anything else.
There we go. Don't you dare. Great advice. Stay in and listen to the podcast. I like that.
We've got plenty of these episodes. Go all the way back to the beginning.
Maybe not the beginning.
Maybe not go the whole way.
No. Yeah. There were some
very risky things said.
Start in about June and you'll be fine.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
Anyway, Rickson and Ken, are you both well? No COVID, hopefully.
COVID-free, mate. COVID-free, because, you know, we follow the rules here.
Same. COVID-free. Just, doing what the government tells us to do. Staying in and watching
Why are we on low-key firing shots? I'm sorry.
I'm allowed to go out and see people outside. Shut up.
Well...
rude.
No, just staying in and watching very interesting Formula One races.
What
a segue.
Well, I've still got to isolate for another 5 days. That is all I'm able to do.
Well, you could rewatch old races.
I could rewatch old races. I could watch I could watch the old new journey if I got incredibly bored and wanted to listen to either of your two voices anymore.
And nobody knows what that is. So let's go on to the race. And where Max Verstappen won his second race of the season, which was fantastic for myself and Ken, who are Red Bull fans. And Ken, it was nice to finally see some success for Red Bull at the end of the season.
Yeah, it was. Seeing the car yesterday in quali, which I kind of missed. Seeing the car, it was well balanced this weekend. And, you know, the pace was there. Even Albon being able... I mean, yeah, there was a bit of a gap, but being able to keep up well with the... being in the top four. So I think, Red Bull got their stuff together. Just too bad it's the final race. But it'll be interesting to see what package they bring next year.
Yeah.
Because obviously we're racing with the same material next year.
Yeah, very little regulation change going into next year. But whether they can improve that going into next year and hopefully challenge Mercedes a little bit more. I know it's still very likely to be another Merc 1-2 for next season. But it was nice to see Red Bull finally getting that win at the end of the season by a track, which we normally wouldn't see them winning. And also as well, it was nice to see Hamilton back in that Merc. Of course not, but you could definitely tell he wasn't 100% at the weekend. But Rickson, seeing the GOAT back must have been pretty good.
Yeah, you know, we all had fun when George was in there. But it was good. It was good to see. But I think it's better just the fact that he's healthy. He's fit. Say he's fit and healthy. He's healthy enough to drive an F1 car, which you have to be pretty fit and healthy to do anyway. But he said post race that he feels better, but like his body is still pretty his body still feels weak than what it should. So it's the worst he's felt ever when driving a car. But yeah, it's good that he's back. You know, it's business as usual, really. Podiums, fastest laps throughout, even though he didn't finish with it. And I say here, I mean Bottas, because I don't think Lewis actually got a fastest lap. But yeah, good. I'm glad he's healthier anyway, because that's the key thing.
He's healthier than Alex at the moment, I think.
No one cares about Alex, though. That's fine.
Wow! Savagery. Oh.
Yeah, but no, like you said, it was good to see him back in the car. But a very lackluster race this weekend with limited overtaking. I mean, it was a bit of a bore fest. I had to get a coffee midway through, which I don't normally have to do, with limited action, unfortunately. This pod is going to be a short one, like we mentioned earlier, because nothing really happened.
I think there's more to talk about outside of the race.
Yeah,
which
exactly.
Is weird because that never happens. I can't remember who I was talking to earlier, but they were saying that it's a good track to end the season on in terms of what happens afterwards because of where it is and all the money that's there. Like it's a good place for like the drivers and the fans if they were there for the season to finish, but the track is just awful. You just can't overtake. It's not a fun track. I know you could say that about a lot of the tracks, but there's a lot of tracks that we've had this year for like a one-off that I'd happily see over the track we had today, because I turned off at about lap 30, and I'm glad I did because nothing really happened.
But it's not like it's changed from last year or that any of the Grand Prix has been any more exciting. Every single Grand Prix that track has hosted has been boring.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It just goes by. It's the season finale. You sometimes crown a champion and then we forget it exists until 12 months
later. That's the thing. When you don't crown a champion there, it's even worse.
It's worse. If everything's already in the bags, then it's just meh.
2016, when Nico won, was because of the way that race was. Looking at that from a Lewis fan, that was one of the best races I've ever watched because you were so tense the whole way through. You didn't know whether Nico was going to catch him or what, right? But when there's nothing to play for and you've got a car, it was Max today, but it could have been Lewis 1 year, Rosberg another year, whatever. It's just boring. And the thing is with that track is it's difficult to catch up because once you're out of the DRS, you can't really do anything about it. You're either too far out of DRS and you're going to struggle to catch them, or there's like four cars together that have all got DRS. And because of the way that the DRS straights are, it's like when you watch with, I think it was Vettel, he kept letting cars pass at the end of the first straight. So he'd get DRS for the second straight and over to, and then that was it until they got round again for the next lap.
Yeah,
like, who designs a track like that? It's just stupid.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Like, the most exciting things about that track are the passage under the hotel and the pit exit. And if those are the two most fascinating things about your track, I think you didn't design a very good one. Because like Rickson said, the way the two DRS zones are lined up, I think it was Leclerc battling with, I can't remember. I think it might have been one of the AlphaTauris. And you get him on the, into that heavy braking zone. Once you've done the long straight, you finally overtake him, and then they overtake you again. And you're like, wait, what? We're just gonna do this for 55 laps, or it's just I mean, to be fair, on the game, I like driving it because it's got a nice flow and a good pace. The track, but I wouldn't mind seeing it earlier in the season, maybe, but as the season finishes, just so bad.
It's not great. And, they pay for that luxury to have it at the end of the season. Like many Middle Eastern Grand Prix, they've got a lot of money and they pay a lot of money to host the races as well. But one of the worst things is that track was brand new. Like, it was just desert. If you go back 10 years, that area. So, Hellman Tilt had a complete blank slate, and he still designed a poor track. So it's like you said, it's not great. But we can't do anything about it. I mean, move back to Brazil, I say, but Brazil haven't got any money, so that's why it's hosted in Abu Dhabi as a final race. But Alex, McLaren getting third in the constructors, as well as getting new investment into the team as well, that must be pretty good feeling going into the off season at least.
It's exciting, definitely, and the one thing that obviously Mercedes are also taking into the off season is the fact they'll have Mercedes engines for next year. So then you sort of got these three things you're ending the season with looking into 2021, and it looks really promising. I don't know if McLaren as much won third place or if Racing Point lost it just by their own sort of, well, not incompetence by the fact they put Lance Stroll in the car because he's terrible.
That's debatable. Sir Lancelot is a great driver.
But anyway, I'm really happy to see McLaren back that high up again. It's been so long since we've seen him. 2012 was the last season they were.
And Lewis was there. Right?
Lewis and Jensen was a team that season, which shows you just how long ago it was.
I think the only thing that they're going to have issue with. Well, I'll say issue with. I was going to say Sainz is going, but you've got Danny Ric going into that car. So, I mean, that's like a like for like swap in terms of how
of course, good Danny Ric in that car as well.
I don't know. Racing Point did bottle it, yes. But I think a couple of Stroll crashes that could have been dodged. And obviously, Perez having COVID didn't help, even though Hülkenberg did do a pretty stellar job. I think Perez would have done better. I think there was a few, even though there was a few things that went against them. Obviously, start of the season as well, they had those points taken off. That was Racing Point, wasn't it?
Yeah, 15 points in total.
So imagine if they sacrificed the 15 points to get to third, to fourth, because copying the Mercedes to get there kind of makes sense.
Yeah, they wouldn't have got there if they didn't go down that development route.
But still, though, I think, you know, it's been for a casual viewer, it's been a good season because you've had teams battling close together. I think next season, I think it may even be similar, but I think Racing Point without Perez, you just don't know, do you? Because driver changes. I still think Haas, Williams, and Alpha Romeo are still going to be bottom three. It's just, like I said, it's just so hard to call because you don't know how quick Danny Ric's going to adapt to that car. You don't know if Norris is, now that he's had his breakout season, he's going to continue to be good. You just don't know, do you?
No, it's all up in the air. But what I love now is the grid, so the pit stop order. Of course, Mercedes at the front, Red Bull, McLaren, Aston Martin, Alpine, and then Ferrari. So
it's bad, isn't it?
I know. It's the worst. I think it's the worst season since 1980, where they finished 10th, then they won the next two seasons, I think, after that, or the two before. But Ferrari, I'm sure they're very happy to see the end of their season. So Ferrari fans, but of course, Seb going, and do we think, of course, Seb moving to Aston Martin, do you think there's a relief there and we'll see a new rejuvenated Sebastian Vettel coming to 2021?
He's got a new challenge, hasn't he, which is what he's been missing. I think Ferrari gave him a bit of a challenge, but they were never there to actually sort of give it to him. If you think of the years that he was there, that Ferrari could have won a constructors, he gave everything and Ferrari let him down in terms of pit stops and strategies and things like that throughout, I think it was the 2018 season. And I think he's just looking for a fresh challenge, and I think it's just going to rejuvenate him. I think better next season. Whether he'll be as good as Perez in that team, I don't know. But I think he'll give them something new and improve the team. And I think it'll be really good. I think just that fresh challenge is what he needs.
I've been thinking about it is like we're coming up to Christmas now, right? Imagine it's your first day back at work in 2021, and you say, we're firing you, but you can't leave until the end of 2021. That's basically what Vettel's season's been like, because he knew that he wasn't there when the season started.
It's true, isn't it? Actually, yes, very true.
He's had to, had to leave the car with them building it to what Charles likes, because obviously he's staying for next year, them specking parts to suit him rather than Seb. So Seb was like, I'm only here to help the team, and obviously being the good person he is, obviously he's going to help them. But you just know that he just wasn't in it properly this year. I don't think he cared really that much. And they were saying on, they had him on the post-race show, and he was saying, I'm just looking forward to going home, spending time with the family, and then coming back. And when somebody says that, you're like, you can tell he had a horrible time. You can tell he just didn't want to be there. So,
no, definitely. And I know we slate him on this podcast at times, but it's we hope that he does have he gets rejuvenated and he's ready to rock and roll come March when we're in Australia, and of course testing before that. But the other drivers who are leaving us as well, we've got both the Haas drivers, Magnussen and Grosjean, leaving, as well as, well, not confirmed, but Perez and Kvyat also going, which we'll find out hopefully next week, the official word anyway. Drivers, do you think the drivers will miss, or is it, you know, just another bunch of back markers? Not Perez, but maybe Grosjean and Magnussen.
Yeah, I think they won't. Nobody will. In 10 years' time, nobody will care. Grosjean will only be remembered for that crash, as bad as that sounds.
That's a good point. Yeah, I agree.
Because he's been, when he was at Lotus, that was probably the highlight, when that lovely black and gold in like 2012, 2013, that was like prime Grosjean, because he was in a good car. And then from then, moving, any driver that moves to Haas is having their career ended immediately. Like Mick Schumacher is not going to have a drive after 2021, because he's going to
bold claim.
Nah, but Ferrari.
You know me, mate. I'm full of them. Bold claims.
Well, Ferrari is in there, aren't they? He's got Schumacher last name, so we'll always have a place.
He's not going to be. I don't think he's going to be very good. I'll be totally honest, because of that Haas. But they're going to be stuck because they don't have a lot of money. They're going to be stuck being bang average team forever. And because they've got they're not like Williams. Like Williams have done stuff in the past that would make a potential buyer want to put money in, but Haas have nothing. Just they're a bunch of yanks. That's why people would want to put money in. I think with K-Mag as well, I think a couple of years ago, first race was a podium, and he's done nothing since then. I think guys like that, I won't miss him, but I think Perez going is the biggest miss. How a team has not picked him up is crazy.
It is the fact that he's going, especially this year. I think, Alex, you mentioned it last week, where he sort of realised he hasn't got a seat for next year, and he's just gone, yeah, well, sort of, fuck it, let's just go all out. For the last couple of races.
He's been incredible, hasn't he, really?
Yeah. And like Rickson said, the fact he hasn't got a seat is sort of criminal. But what I gather, he's got a lot of options coming into 2022. And I guess he still could technically get Albon's seat. I know
Red Bull,
it's very
please.
Unlikely. Please, yeah.
Can you imagine if you go announcement and it just goes Nico Hülkenberg? Could you imagine the shithousery for Red Bull at that point?
I'd be fuming, because I'd own a lot of alcoholic beverages.
You're a lot of alcohol, that'd be incredible.
I'm kind of in St. Paris now. I'd be shaking in my boots a bit. That was the case.
And then finally, it's Kvyat, which it looks like Yuki Tsunoda from Formula 2 is going to take his seat as well. Kvyat, again, known, like you said, Rick McGrosjean, he'll be remembered for that crash, and Kvyat will be known for his crashes in his Red Bull days, really, and his torpedo nickname, unfortunately. And I guess he's still the most successful Russian, but
there isn't a very long list of Russian F1 drivers that have been good. No. I think the thing is with Kvyat is, like, the last few races have been pretty good for him. Like, he's got scored points. He's been like 7th, 6th, 7th, 8th, which is pretty good. But that Red Bull program is just so hard. You have two races where you don't score points and you're thinking about, am I going to get traded out? Or swapped out for someone? So I think Yuki going into that AlphaTauri seat over Kvyat is really good. I think Kvyat's past his due date now to be classed as a young driver and drive that AlphaTauri. You have to be young, and he's not
how old is he? Young
anymore. He's old. I think he's Ken's age.
So in other news, it looks like EA have bought out Codemasters, who own the F1 franchise as well as Dirt and a few other games, for £735 million. Big old deal that, and EA will have the rights back to the Formula One games, which they haven't had since 2006, I think. So are we? I'm sure we're all happy being avid Formula One gamers. I guess.
I don't know about that one.
I think
the original deal was Take-Two
who
do all of the 2K games, which are very good games. Very good games. I would have preferred it have gone that direction. Even though they don't do racing games, I would have preferred it to go that direction than EA, because if you look at how they've ruined FIFA, they only care about the money. So the game, if they move to F1, which obviously nothing's official yet. This has just been, I saw it on BBC News site earlier after the Grand Prix. So I play probably more FIFA than any other game, and I don't play the multiplayer on it anymore, because if you don't spend money, you can't win. Well, you either have to spend thousands of hours and grind it, which nobody wants to do if you've got an actual life, or you just pay £100, open a load of packs, get not even a good team, get a team that's good enough to win a few games, and then you have to pay £100 more because they release new cards that are better. So I'm not sure. I just think it's a lot of money for a product that isn't finished, if you're just talking solely about F1. Even though they've got a lot better recently, they're still broken messes in some cases. I think this year's game has been the best one for a long time, but I don't know how much money you can give Cody's to fix it, if you know what I mean.
The thing is, I presume EA will have bought Codemasters, but Codemasters will still exist. It'll be like a sub-company.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I'm sure they can tap into EA's resources.
I can't remember. What's the last racing game that EA actually licensed?
Racing.
I'm going to say license, because obviously they don't make them. It'll be the in this case, Codemasters who makes it.
Depends how you class racing, because obviously it'd be Need for Speed.
Yeah, Need for Speed, yeah.
But that's not racing.
I'd say that's driving rather than
They
racing.
Did Real Racing 3 in 2013.
Isn't that
Real
app?
Racing, yeah, of course.
That's an app, isn't it?
It's also a game on... That's a money grab, isn't it?
Burnout is also more an arcade game.
Criterion, that's not EA.
Yeah, Real Racing 3.
Are we really looking all the way back to F1 like 2004?
I'm talking about like, I'm going to
say
proper
games. Yeah, Sim. Yeah,
like, well, not I'm not calling F1 games a Sim. I'm saying like.
Relatively speaking,
it's meant to be a sim. I just don't think it's good. They'll probably prove me wrong, because EA are a massive corporate company. But it's one of those, like, the games I'm thinking of that, like, NHL is a pretty big one. EA brought the rights to NHL, and it's god awful, full of bugs. It's really difficult to follow, because obviously for me, when I played it, it's like a brand new sport. I don't really watch ice hockey or know anything about it, but it was really difficult for me to learn how to play it. You know what I mean? It was just like that, like the way that they built it up to make it easy. I think it might just be me not having fun with EA games, but yeah, I think the money's really good for the franchise, for sure. Hopefully they can focus more on the casual players like me, I class myself as a casual player now, then it could be good. But EA's first mindset is, how can we make more money once we've sold copies?
DLCs, which
could be quite good. DLCs could be quite good. That's always something we've said. But it depends how many of them they do, how expensive they are. If you can, for instance, the only thing I'm imagining is, let's say they do something like FIFA where you can buy cards and make a better team. Let's say they do that. They release these packs that are 20 quid, let's say, for like six or something like that. And you can get cars out of those packs that are quicker than the base cars.
Or parts. Then,
yeah, or parts, yeah. Like, everybody could start with, like, a Renault engine or whatever. Pack, like, a Merc engine. But the Merc engine's quite hard to find, so then people spend loads of money to get the Merc engines, and then once they've got them, multiplayer's ruined because everybody's... It's really difficult for new players. It's just a thought.
Yeah, you could even spread it out more following the Ultimate Team option that they currently have in the FIFA games. Do you remember? Oh, I can't remember. I think it was Need for Speed Payback where you had those cards and then you had upgraded turbo. Yeah, well, I think that could be a way they go. Like, for example, you start with a base pack and then you upgrade to a Merc MGUK, a Ferrari MGUH, you know, that they split up all the engine parts, all the suspension parts. Driver stats, you know, like you could use, what is it, chemistry styles in FIFA, that you can get stuff like that for the drivers as well. I mean, they have got a lot of options, and if they want more information, they should have a look at Motorsport Manager, because that game, it's not about graphics. That game is just so immersive, you know, it puts you in charge, like budget wise and stuff, and I really hope EA does something with that. It would be, yes, we all kind of complained on a yearly basis about Codemasters, but still, I hope EA doesn't ruin the franchise, because it's the only Formula One game that's made.
It's the only one we got. We kind of
It's the only one we have.
And I think, looking at how bad, the only one that I can think of that's gone from a really good game to complete shit is Project Cars 3. I was one of the people that was stupid enough to play that game, played it for an hour, realised how bad it was, and I regret paying however much I paid for it. Because I already feel really sad mentioning that I even brought it. But, I think people should have their doubts. If they don't have their doubts, they've never played an EA game ever in their lives.
Yeah, no, we're all a bit sceptical about it. But we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. It's still a year to go before the game will likely release anyway. It's usually sort of summertime, isn't it, when the game comes out. So we've got time, and fingers crossed.
It might not even happen. Next one will be, will have really any of whoever buys its influence anyway. Yeah, his influence. I don't think this next one will. I reckon we're looking at 2022.
Yeah, no, you're right. With
the new regs and stuff, it's going to need something new, isn't it?
No, you're right. Yeah, that could be it. It could be, you know, the big, you know, bang when 2022 comes around with the new regs and a new game. That could be right. But we'll have to wait and see. The second bit of news I wanted to talk about was the man, the myth, the legend, Sebastian Loeb, has been announced in Lewis Hamilton's Extreme E team. So it's him and a lady called Christina Gutierrez, who I've got no idea who she is, I'll be honest.
A lady? I might watch.
Well, each team has to have a male and a female driver. That's the rules.
I didn't know that. That's cool. I like that. That's cool.
So Jamie Chadwick is already confirmed in the Veloce car. The other driver hasn't been confirmed yet. But it is Sebastian Loeb and Christina Gutierrez. And, I mean, Sebastian Loeb, 9-time World Rally Champion, has competed in the Dakar Rallycross as well. He's just an absolute steal. And all the cars are the same, so he'll be up there competing at the top, I think.
I've just looked up Christina Gutierrez. She's also a Dakar racer.
Yes. Yeah, I think from what I read, she's the first female to race in the car class a few years ago. So she knows her... Yeah, off off-road racing. But Ken, have you come around to the idea of Extreme E yet? Or are you still on the fence? Okay.
No, I'm hoping they add another team that consists of off-road Nissan Leafs, but I think that's wishful thinking, isn't it? Now, to be fair, when they said, rally series that's going electric, I was a bit like, but the whole idea of it, it's basically, I'm going out on a limb here, but it's a bit Forza Horizon on steroids, isn't it? Just like, everything's done on a boat, that's and so then odd. and then the second you get off the boat, it's race time, stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, that can be interesting. And, all the things they add that every team has to have a male and a female driver is also really good. Just get more people into the sport, actually.
But what I, like Ken said, what I quite like is the fact it's tapping into different markets. You've got, electric cars, off-road, diversity, climate change. They're tapping into a lot of markets, which at the moment is a good thing. And for a new sport, a new series, it's what they need to do. So, Alex, you weren't here when we last spoke about it. Are you going to be watching Extreme E when it kicks off next year?
I'm one of those people that will say, yeah, I'll watch it, and then forget about it. And one of you will say something about it, and I can't be bothered. I'll try. If I'm watching the telly and one of you say it's on, I'll put it on.
I don't know why I ask you sometimes.
I've just written an article. I've just written an article that they will be showing it on Dutch TV. So I will be watching it.
Do we know what it's on over here?
iPlayer.
Oh, BBC. Oh, okay. All right, that increases the chances.
You said that about Rallycross, which was on YouTube, and you still wouldn't bloody watch.
No, I watched one.
On Facebook.
The thing is with Rallycross, Alex, is you actually need to go. Because my opinion changed massively when we went on it. I think that's... Because I when we went, I was like, I'm only here because it's, and I got really sunburnt and still had a great time, so it was good.
Yeah,
with a couple of drinks.
Maybe I just need to go then.
What the middle of wherever it is? I was going to say Dakar, but that isn't a place, I don't think, or is it? I don't know.
No,
it's difficult as a spectator. I think. I think Dakar and Extreme E are just things you really enjoy more watching from the comfy from your sofa.
I mean, I meant to go and watch Rallycross, not Extreme E. I think that's going to be out.
We should all do the Silverstone one, whatever. Or actually, I'll leave it to Ollie. Ollie just decide the place where it is, and we'll just go. Can be like the middle of nowhere.
Well, they're like racing
Wales, middle of nowhere. We could go.
Wait, are we on about Rallycross or Extreme E?
Rallycross.
Oh, never mind then.
Well, where Extreme E is like not going to be.
Senegal, Saudi Arabia, Nepal, Greenland, and Brazil. Nepal.
Don't even answer to it, Ken. It's childish.
Yeah, they're racing in the rainforest.
Oh, I see what you did there.
They're racing in the rainforest in Brazil, and they're racing in Greenland on a, let's hope I pronounced this right, a glacier?
Nailed it.
I think I'm in the same boat as Alex. I'm gonna watch it if I know it's on. Like, I won't openly go out and find it because it's not gonna be on like Sky or anything. But if we're let's say someone puts it in the chat that it's on, I'd probably watch it. Depends who is doing like the broadcast as well. Because it is not just about the sport. Yeah, it's about commentary. Who's doing the like Vernon Kay for FE role, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you're right.
Vernon Kay does FE. No wonder I don't watch it.
I think he's really good. He knows
quite
stuff.
Good, to be fair.
I think he's proper good at it.
Did you know that Carlos Sainz Sr. is going to be racing?
I did not.
Doesn't surprise me. He has won
a world
championship and Dakar twice or three times. So he's perfectly suited. Yeah. To that. So yeah, fingers crossed. It's a good series. Otherwise, we've talked up so much, and it might be really rubbish. But hopefully not. So up next is my favourite part of the show: two lies and a truth. And this week it is Rickson's turn.
Right then, boys. So I've tried to, I think because of my poor form in this section, I've just thrown everything out and I've gone for, I've done something that's kind of cheeky, and I think you'll realise what I've done as we go through it. But I hope you all get it wrong, and I still stand a chance of getting something. I don't know how many podcasts we've got left until the end of the year. I'm guessing that's when we're going to start keeping track of the scoring, I imagine.
We've just gone forever and ever.
Go on for, oh God. All right. I thought there'd be like some prize that I'd never win because I'd always come fourth. so start with number one. Now we all know, lads, the Nissan Leaf is the greatest car on the entire planet.
God, every week.
Here, here.
So the first potential truth is that the Nissan Leaf is the planet's top selling 100% electric vehicle, with over 1 million models sold worldwide and over 100,000 sold in the UK. That is
okay.
Answer number one. Answer number two is back in 2006, a record 5 cars started a Grand Prix. So again, bringing it back round to F1 related. Back in 2006, only 5 cars started a Grand Prix. And answer number three is quite a personal one, actually. I once set the second fastest overall lap time for the week at the Silverstone single-seater track day last year. So...
Oof.
Just go over that one again. Just to make sure you all heard it. I once set the second fastest overall lap time of the week on a Silverstone single-seater track there. Now, I know second is only second, but if you think about how many people do it in a week, I think that's pretty good. So, yeah, we'll start with... Oh, who should we go first? Ken, start with you. Which one of my three answers do you think is the truth?
Right. Mm-mm. So the first one was Nissan Leaf, 1 million of them sold worldwide, yeah? And 100K, yep. And 100K
in the UK.
In the UK.
Yep.
And 1 million worldwide. You holding second fastest lap. Well, it could be if you went out on a Monday and crashed so badly that they had to shut it for the rest of the week.
Fuck it.
maybe then. And the second one was five cars started a Grand Prix in what year was that?
2006. 5 cars started a Grand Prix.
I don't want to sound stupid, but I'm thinking about that one Grand Prix where the tires where the tire supply drama. But I can't remember what year that was.
We all seem to have a problem with this, where if we're not the last person, we talk too much about why we're picking it, and it just gives it away for the other people.
Sorry.
Or gives away the thoughts. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'll answer now. Fuck.
It's tricky. I didn't think it'd be this hard. I'm happy about this.
I'm gonna go for the second one. 5 cars started the 2006 Grand Prix.
Okay. Let me just note that down real quick.
As much as I want to pick the Leaf.
Okay. Ollie, do you want to go next, mate?
Okay. So, 100,000 Nissan Leaf sold in the UK and 1 million worldwide. That's clearly not enough. So, I think that's wrong, because there is definitely more sold, because it is the greatest car in the world. So, I think that's wrong. So, then you've got the F1 and then your racing time. F1. It wasn't 2006 where that 5 car started. I don't think. I think it was a different year. So I'm going to go with the last one, saying you were fastest in Silverstone in your single-seater race.
I'm glad you think that I'm good enough to be second fastest at Silverstone track day. Oh, dear. Especially after seeing my karting skills. I'm surprised you picked that.
That might be a regret, but I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, thank you, mate. And Alex, what is your pick?
So, the first one, I feel like there's way too much information in there, and like one thing is going to be wrong. So there's like 1.1 million.
Are we talking about the Nissan Leaf one here, by the way?
Yeah, or 110k sold in the UK or something. I feel like one of them is going to be slightly off.
Smart.
The second one is wrong because it was 2005 that American Grand Prix and six cars started it.
So Ken's an idiot.
The thing is that leaves you with the fact that I got back you as being the second fastest.
Yeah, you have as well. I know you don't want to do it.
I think it's the last one. I think you were the second fastest.
So you think the truth is that I was second fastest overall?
Yes.
On a Monday morning at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
First driver on the circuit.
Yeah.
So just to go over each one, obviously we had that the Nissan Leaf is the planet's top selling electric car. Well, what 100% electric, selling over 100 models and 100k in the UK. Back in 2006, only five cars started a Grand Prix, which Ken picked. And then the third and final one is I once set the second fastest overall lap time in the single seater Silverstone track day. So the one that nobody picked, which is that the Nissan Leaf has sold a million models. Well, that is a lie. Yes. The actual stats is
10 million.
It is the top selling 100% electric vehicle. They've only sold 400,000 models worldwide.
What?
And only 25,000
fake news
in the UK. That was taken from the summertime. So I feel since the podcast started, more of them have been sold.
Oh, 100%. Obviously.
Yeah.
Nissan, if you're listening, we'd like a Leaf.
We'd like four old leaves, one. Please. We'd like enough leaves for a tree. Come on.
or at least a small bush.
Yeah, please.
God,
we'll
no.
move on. We'll move on. A big old pair of trousers for that bush. Jeez.
You're going to do the fly.
The button just pop out, be fine. Yeah. The second lie was that. I'll give it around. I'm crazy.
Ken, the tension's killing me. Come on.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, when it's said in like zero, it's just, there's like no run up. It's just really quiet as well. Oh, that's good. Oh, dear. So, obviously, that was lie number one. Lie number two is back in 2006, only five cars started the Grand Prix. Ken, I'm sorry. Clearly.
You switched the numbers around, didn't you?
It was 2005 in the US Grand Prix. Six cars that had Bridgestone tyres could go to the start line, whereas the remaining 14 had to. Well, they didn't have to, but they withdrew because of the Michelin tyres. Didn't think they were strong enough. And that was the strangest. I knew that happened, but I wasn't sure on the year, so I thought I'd use that and speak.
Yeah.
But that means, however, that Alien Addicts think I am a god. As the truth is that I would set the second time of the week in the Silverstone single seat track day. Thanks for everyone for listening to the podcast. That's it. Cheers, folks. I think it was a weekday. I think it was maybe a Thursday, but then I got an email with the sheet for the week and I was second. And the guy that beat me was actually the guy that beat me when we were on track together. It is. You can see why people don't go very quick, because the gearboxes in those single seaters they're obviously quite old, and like obviously they're maintenance enough. But the gear shift is tiny, and you go from first to second, and then to go from second to third was really, really difficult, because obviously was it a H pattern? I don't know, but there wasn't really enough room to really move the gear. So it was clear that me and the other guy that was ahead of me just found third and fourth gear and just kept it in third and fourth gear around the whole track. Whereas everybody else was first and second, and their engines were just screaming because you can't find the right gear. And I actually got black and white flag, so I kept taking a corner too wide because I thought it was quicker. Thought I could get more of an exit. And they pulled me into the pits and was like, you need to stop doing that. I was like, but it's quicker. And they were like, it's not, because you're still not fastest. I was like, okay. So, but yeah, that's a nice little story. I was nearly the fastest person at Silverstone ever. What a shame.
I feel like Emma's a bit of a push. Was every day around that really wet and you just got the one dry afternoon?
It actually rained a little bit. So I was driving down there from Birmingham or up there, whatever direction Silverstone's in. And it was spitting the whole way until I got there. And then when I got there, it completely stopped. Obviously, I don't think it was enough to really make much of a difference. Like, it wasn't pissing it down. But we went out in Beamers. Don't know what series they were. They were pretty good. They were like the small ones. And that was good fun. But yeah, it was a good day. Recommend it to anybody that wants to do it. It's a birthday present.
So, to our final section of the episode, it is what to watch. And Alex, it was your choice for what to watch this week.
Yeah, so I went for something. I wanted something a bit feel good. Feels like the feel good season. So I decided to go for a documentary that was made on Alex Zanardi called Disability is All Relative. If none of you know the story of Alex Zanardi, he lost both of his legs in an IndyCar crash, from what I remember. But he's still trying to race in as many series as he can. And this sort of follows his journey for racing for a little bit of racing for DTM and the Dakar, and some different little bits that he's doing. And it generally is just a really interesting documentary on what it's like to try and race with no legs and trying to overcome those disabilities and the different... and the different technical challenges that it comes with to create a car that you can race with you know, trying to create a car that you can race with no legs, because you need your legs to brake and accelerate. To try and create a car that takes that away is really difficult. And BMW are the manufacturer that have picked him up and gone with him. And as you know, when you watch this, you can see just what they create and just how incredible it is. And you know, he's still got some speed in him for sure.
Oh yeah. And what I love about him and the documentary, it highlights that even though he's lost both his legs, his competitive and sportsmanship hasn't died. Like, he went, right, okay, I can't drive, because he didn't drive for a few years. you know, right, what else can I do? And it was just by chance that he met someone at a petrol station with a racing wheelchair. You know, I'll try that, and just entered a marathon a few weeks later as a disabled racer, and he's won countless medals at the Olympics. Sorry, Paralympics. And he's such a drive as a human to even know he went back to racing properly then, which I think is so such strength behind the person. It's fantastic, and it was a really good watch.
Go on, Ken.
Well, it's just insane. Like, he lost. I mean, he nearly died. Like, he lost 4.5 liters of blood. That's just.
I think he lost 70% of his blood.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then you recover, and then you're like, right, get me in a car.
That's like most racing drivers, though, in a way. Because it seems like all of them that have had a big accident that are physically able to, if somebody's told them that there's an opportunity for them to drive again, most of them have either managed to or have attempted to drive again, which is just says what it takes to be a racing driver before you've even got in a car, you know.
Yeah, you got Zanardi, you got Lauda, Kubica even. I mean,
Billy Monger,
all of them got that drive to get back in a car. And also, like, him going to the Paralympics and actually winning gold medals. Oh, actually, it was gold, wasn't it?
A few
goals, I mean, it just shows what a drive that guy has. It's insane.
Yeah, it was, phenomenal person. And we highly recommend the documentary. It's Amazon, Alex, isn't it?
It's Amazon Prime, it's on Amazon Prime.
So if you've got Amazon, you can go check it out. Or we don't recommend, but I'm sure you can find it illegally somewhere as well. But I think that rounds off the podcast for this week. Thank you ever so much for listening once again. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, and YouTube, Grid Watchers Podcast. And you can find us on Twitter @GridWatchersPod. And you can find us, all the latest things we do is on Twitter. So keep up to date with us on there. Thank you, Alex, Rickson, and Ken for joining me once again for the last F1 podcast of the season, because next week we'll be back for a special Christmas episode where we will be doing Secret Santa. So that should be an entertaining one, at least, hopefully.
Looking forward to the sex toys, boys.
Oh, no.
Hopefully not. We'll have to do some blurring in the editing if sex toys start coming up on...
Get out, so we're just wobbling around. Oh, shit.
No. Do that before the intro, maybe. Anyway, thank you ever so much for listening, guys, and we'll see you next week. Good night.